As I watch you come in to a meeting, or sometimes if I'm sitting off the side, and oftentimes I look into some of your faces off from the side, and I think to myself, I wonder what really is going on way down back there. And I have a longing to enter in with you to whatever burden or concern that you might be currently having, that maybe somebody needs to have their heart lifted, or and something that's deep down inside that you maybe like to share with someone, but you haven't yet with anybody. Because I know that to have this many of us together, and all that down behind that smiling face and all, there could be some discouragement, maybe a little depressed. Maybe on the other hand, there's some of you feel pretty good. Maybe too good. We can get a little presumptuous, a little cocky, maybe. You know, there's a song that says, sometimes I'm up and sometimes I'm down. Well, that's oftentimes what happens. You know, our emotions can be up and they can be down. I think sometimes we think that faith is over here and reason is over here. I think that faith and reason are on the same side, and the thing that's over here is emotion. This is the thing that oftentimes gets us mixed up. For instance, I don't think that many people are really ever reasoned out of their faith. I think they more likely drift away from it. And it's sort of in the realm of the emotions that a lot of these things take place. Then we begin to think we have reasons, but we don't really. Now, there's a stabilizing attitude. You know, we talk a lot about attitudes here on the Glen. I want to talk about one of the most important attitudes for now and for the rest of your life. An attitude is an abiding condition of the mind. It's an abiding condition of the mind. It's not necessarily an abiding condition of the emotion. Because emotions change and feeling follows thought. So what you think about makes a difference. Yeah, you're right. You've got a little sermonette coming up right now. That's what it is. We had a little different program. We didn't want you to know when this was all coming. So it snuck up on you. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let this attitude, this abiding condition of your mind, be like Jesus had. Humility, servanthood. But the stabilizing attitude, the abiding condition of the mind that stabilizes you, that I want to point out tonight in just a few moments, is this one. Looking unto Jesus. Hebrews 12:2. Now, it may be that tonight you feel pretty good. Yeah? Had some victories? In fact, there's a subtle little trap that, as I reflect, that can happen. There are several extremes, and one is we can get presumptuous. I think that, particularly as a young Christian, I used to get the idea that as I got victory in a certain area of my life, I would get stronger in that area. Then I could look and say, well, now this is taken care of. Now I got this one finally settled, and this is set now for the rest of my life. Now I'll go on and tackle some of these others. Well, the scripture says, wherefore let him that standeth take heed lest he fall. And one lesson along this line that it seems to take a long time to learn, but it's this, that the flesh never gets better. It never improves one whit or one iota. I was shocked to read the other day to hear about an evangelist spread all over, not only one section of the country in the papers, but across the country, was murdered. Then the facts came out that he was murdered by the husband of a wife whose company he'd been keeping. And what a terrible thing this is for the gospel and the testimony concerning Christ. As I reflected on this for a moment, what do you suppose happened? Did that just happen in a month? That was building up over years, years, and years. A person never falls into immorality just like that, out of the clear blue. This thing was thought of in the mind. Time and time and time and time again. It was already done in the mind. And then that created a desire, and then the opportunity came, and there was the act. Or it could have been that this person was well-disciplined, had great victory in this area of the life, and began somehow to fall into the trap that once having gained victory, that establishes it for the rest of your life. The flesh never, ever gets better. Now, I'm getting a few more gray hair, and I'm getting along the place where I can tell you youngsters a little more how it is over the long haul. But I've had long enough to observe this, that there must be an unrelenting, never-ending, from now till you're taken home, dependence upon Him, an attitude of dependence that He will deliver. And at any time, you begin to shift over to think, well, now I'm on top of this. And you begin to launch out in your own strength, you fall flat on your face. Because Paul said, we are those who rejoice in Jesus Christ and have no confidence in the flesh. Never. Does that discourage you any? Well, I think it ought to help you if you didn't know this. So that increasingly the Christian life, it is now and always will be entire dependence, looking unto Jesus for deliverance. As much when you're 40 as when you're 20. As when you're 50 as when you're 30. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. Right now, today, 21 years I've known the Lord, dwells no good thing today. Hence the need for dependence, this attitude, the abiding condition of the mind, looking to Jesus and all that He is and all that He is for me for deliverance every single day. And when I lose this attitude of dependence upon Him, deterioration begins to set in. Another thing along this line. Not only does the flesh never get better, but you never get stronger. It says that the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong in the behalf of those whose heart is perfect toward Him. It does not say that the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to make the person strong whose heart is perfect toward Him. It says to show Himself strong in the behalf of Him whose heart is perfect toward Him. He isn't going to necessarily show me strong. He is going to show Himself strong through me. Very important. We don't get stronger. We are weak, and we'll always be weak. Somehow or other, a lot of Christians seem to have the idea that power is like a little package or a little gift that somebody gives it to you. Now I got it. See it? Look here, I got power. See it? See, right there it is. See? Power. Look at that. But that isn't it. We've got a little accompaniment here in the background. Kind of pretty, really, if it comes right down to it. But I didn't have that on the program, so I'll continue with this, if it's all right. You see, you're not a receptacle. You're a channel. You're a channel, not a receptacle. So we must have a maintained attitude of dependence. Be careful. Think you're on top, do you? Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Keep your eyes on Jesus Christ. Maintain the attitude daily of dependence upon Him. And I think the more you get along in your Christian life, the more you realize your need of utter dependence upon Him. Relentless dependence. That's part of growth. Now, that's for those who may feel that sometimes I'm up, and now you feel you're up. Now, as some of you say, well, right now I feel down. Well, I'm sure not in this first category. I'm so low a snake would have to dig a trench to get under me. I'm flatter than a duck's instep. Well, I tell you, I'm lonely, and there's no lonelier place than to be lonely in the midst of a bunch of people. In fact, you might think, I'd like to get away from some of these people. I sure would. I've really thought real seriously about beating it out of here, but I've committed myself, and it'd be worse to leave than to stay. Maybe you're a little discouraged. Maybe you're a little depressed tonight. Well, if it's any courage, encouragement to you, let me tell you about it. I think it will be. Take Moses, for instance. Now, he got discouraged. Are we going to insist on having this, or could we keep this quiet? Please, I'm getting discouraged here for a moment. Here in Numbers chapter 11, Moses said to the Lord, have I born all these people? Have I conceived them? Have I begotten them? Can I give them flesh? And you know something? Yeah, Nuke, they'll get along okay over there, Nuke and Harrison. Hey, you look up here. He said, there are 600,000 footmen. Now, that's a lot of people to give meat to. You can hardly blame Moses for getting down the mouth. You know, he got to the place and said, Lord, I can't bear this alone. This is more than I can take. This is too heavy for me. And if thou deal thus with me, kill me, I pray thee. Now that's getting down pretty low, isn't it? Moses got that way. Take Elijah, for instance. Here's Elijah, 450 prophets of Baal, and this tremendous victory. And where do you see him next? Under a juniper tree. And he says, Lord, I'm no better than anybody else. I'm no better than other men. Of course, that's precisely true. That's precisely true. He said, Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. Well, he was down in the dumps. I'd gladly die. Take me out of this thing. John the Baptist, this is a very tender thing to me. This forerunner, Isaiah chapter 40, the forerunner of Jesus, John the Baptist. Here he is, he's in prison. And can you imagine? You never think of this, really. You wouldn't think of John the Baptist. But he called two of his disciples and he sent them to Jesus and said, are you the one that should come? Or are we to look for somebody else? Have you ever gotten to that place? Maybe some of you are right there right now if you admitted it. Well, let me suggest here just briefly the remedy. The remedy for Moses was what? To get him his eyes off himself. Have I had all these people? Must I give them food? Must I do it? Do I have all the demands people have on me? Do I have to do it? No. Yeah, you got the point. Good deal. And what did the Lord say? Is the Lord's hand waxed short? Of course Moses' hand's short. Of course it is. I'd preach this to myself. All these demands. I can't do it. Well, of course not. You weren't intended to. Is the Lord's hand waxed short? Thou shalt see now whether my word shall come to pass unto thee or not. Get your eyes back on the Lord and on the promises of his word. See, just between you and me, that's one reason we like you to memorize Scripture. So at a time like this, you've got some of these great promises to look to. And look to the greatness of God and his promises. And of course, whenever you look down here, you get that's discouraging anybody. What about Elijah? What did he need? Elijah just needed some food and a good rest. And it could well be that you just need a good night's sleep or two. You need some good exercise, and a good night's sleep can change your whole outlook. That's right. And sometime, a half hour of exercise and a good night's rest is the most spiritual thing you can do. That's right. Because I find a lot of folks, again, they're thinking, I got to pray. You know? Got to get at this. What's the matter with me? Ooh, my Christian life is going hot. And all they need is some exercise and a good night's sleep. That's right. And you know what usually happens when you get fatigued, mentally, physically fatigued? Well, the first thing that goes is your sense of timing. Everything has to be done now. You know what? You ever felt like when the roof falls in, I got to do that. Oh, I can't. My assignments, my work, my this, my that. Well, wait just a moment. You don't have to do it all right now. No. Another good thing that's helped me is I just stop and I wait a minute. Just write it down. What do I have to do? What do I really have to do today? What do I really have to do? And I find I don't have all that to do that I thought I did. Your sense of timing goes. Get a good brisk hike and a good night's sleep, and it'll be good for you. In the case of John the Baptist, what did Jesus say? He said, I tell you what you do. When these men came, it says in the same hour, he, Jesus, cured many of their infirmities and plagues and of evil spirits, and unto many that were blind he gave sight. Then Jesus answering said unto these two messengers that John sent, go your way and tell John, tell him, what things you have seen and heard, how the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, to the poor the gospel is preached. Go and tell him what you've seen done. And I found this a great help, just to reflect on my own testimony, the answers to prayer. Then once in a while, if it comes along, you say, well, I don't think I have any testimony. You know, you get in that kind of a shape. Well, think about somebody else. A lot of times, you know, I think of Rod Sargent. What a rounder this guy was. What a miracle transformed life is Rod Sargent. And I know his testimony. Maybe a lot of you have heard it. And I think of him, and I think of others. My brother. And transform lives. That's right. This person has been made to see. Here, this one's been made to walk. This life has been changed. This one's been released from vice and from the grip of sin. And as you reflect on his works and what he has done, yeah, that's right. And that begins to move out into praise and thanksgiving. That's a great help. And so what you're doing then is you're turning your eyes inward, away from being inward, to him. To his word, to his power, and to all that he is, all that he is for me, all that he's done. This soul transforming, this life stabilizing attitude of dependence upon him, and I just looking to him every day. Whether you're up or whether you're down, that's the way to look.